Councilman, what should we do when we take out these?
Please bow your hands and move. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed on this community, and we pray tonight for your guidance and that our decisions will always be for the greater good of our community. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number one on the agenda is approval of the agenda, and I'd like to pull out of the D1. We brought you that and added some additional work.
Motion, we approve the amended agenda.
We have a motion, a second, no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes.
Mr. Niemeyer?
Yes.
Mr. Walter Scheid?
Yes.
Mr. Maya Forrest? Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Number two, City of Carlsbad Financials, December 2021, Ms. Salsido.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Thank you for being here this evening. I'm sure you've had an opportunity to review the financials that were provided in your agenda packet. Therefore, I will only provide you a brief summary of the city's cash position as of December 2021, the sixth accounting period for fiscal year 22. The city had a beginning fiscal year cash balance of $95.9 million and an ending cash balance of $93.5 million. The city's revenues of $54.7 million are $1.8 million favorable to the $52.9 million budget and is 2% above target. The city's labor costs of $27.8 million are $500,000 favorable to the $28.3 million budget and 1% below target. The city's operating costs of $24.8 million are $1.6 million unfavorable to the $23.2 million budget and 4% above target. The city's capital costs of $4.9 million are $17 million favorable to the $21.9 million budget and 39% below target. Overall, from the previous fiscal year, there's been a decrease of $2.4 million in the cash balance. This will conclude my summary unless there are any questions.
Questions or comments from Ms. Salsido? Thank you, Ms. Salsido. Number three, consider approval of resolution 2022-03, a resolution making certain budgetary adjustments to the 2021-22 fiscal year budget. Ms. Salsido.
Thank you again, Mayor, Council. I will be reviewing the third quarter budget adjustments for fiscal year 22. In the general fund, there is a request from the fire department to increase operating costs by $40,000 for donation received from Chevron that will be used to purchase materials and supplies. In the general fund, there is a request in the library department to increase revenue and operating costs by $17,828 for an American Rescue Plan Act grant that will be used to purchase materials and supplies. In the general fund, there is a request in the library department to increase revenue and operating costs by $10,000 for an American Rescue Plan Humanities grant that will be used to purchase books, software, and materials and supplies. And in the sports complex, there is a request to increase labor by $1,385 to reclassify a caretaker position to an irrigation specialist. This concludes the third quarter budget adjustment.
Question or comment from Ms. Salsido? Thank you, Ms. Salsido.
Thank you.
Mayor, all these were presented to the budget committee and passed unanimously, and I move to approve.
Would you motion to approve? And second, no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes.
Ms. Niemeyer?
Yes.
Mr. Walter Scheid?
Yes.
Ms. Maya Forrest?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
And Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Number four, routine and regular business. All matters under this heading are considered routine by the City Council. And the Act 21 motion, there will be no separate discussion of these items. If discussion is desired on a particular item or request, that item may be removed from the routine list of business and be considered separately. I would ask Mr. Lawler to briefly discuss C2.
Yes, Mayor, members of the council, C2 is requesting approval to advertise an invite to bid for demolition services for the Planning, Engineering, and Demolition Department. The city uses these services whenever we are required to demolish, condemn, or abandon structures around the city.
Question or comment from Mr. Lawler?
Make a motion to approve.
Make a motion to approve. And second, no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes.
Ms. Niemeyer?
Yes.
Mr. Waltershide?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
All items under routine and regular business have passed. Number five, consider approval of request for a restaurant A beer and wine and liquor license with on-premises consumption only for RR Pizza LLC doing business as Pizza Inn at 1210 West Pier Street. Applicant Ruben Ramirez. Mr. Lawler?
Mayor, members of the council, as mentioned, this is approval for beer and wine liquor license for Pizza Inn located at 1210 West Pier. The current owner currently serves and has a restaurant type A license. The new owner would like to receive that liquor license as well. Liquor licenses are not transferable. That's why the owner, R&R Pizza, is requesting this liquor license for you today.
Question or comment?
Mayor? Mr. Lawler, it says for consumption on R&R Pizza only. Is that for the premises only, or is it just...
Premises, yes, correct. It's my understanding.
And I move for approval. Make a motion.
Second.
And second, no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes.
Ms. Niemeyer?
Yes.
And Mr. Waltershide?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Number six, consider approval of an appeal of the decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission to approve a conditional use permit request to allow sand, gravel, and caliche mining and storage operation to be located at R-120 Hidalgo Road, zoned RR Rural Residential, District of Pellet, Ray and Vicky Trout. Ms. Boyer, please. Let's have Mr. Patterson get it first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is an appeal by the decision of the Planning and Zoning Commission to approve a conditional use permit request to allow sand, gravel, and caliche mining and storage operation to be located at Rural 120 Hidalgo Road, property zone Rural Residential District. At the January 3rd, 2022 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, the commission considered a request for a conditional use permit to locate a sand, gravel, and caliche mining and storage operation to be installed at Rural 120 Hidalgo Road, an approximately 90-acre property located to the west of the proposed West Carlsbad Bypass Route, just north of the intersection with Hidalgo Road. As the current zoning for the subject property is Rural Residential District, the zoning ordinance indicates that a sand, gravel, and caliche mining and storage operation requires a conditional use permit to be approved in order to place this operation at this location. The applicant for this conditional use permit request is Chance Materials, owned by Jim Mitchell. Mr. Mitchell appeared before the commission at this meeting to explain his request and to answer questions posed by the commission. Mr. Mitchell indicated that he planned to perform extensive mining activities at the subject property in an effort to lower the elevation of the northern portion of the subject property along the right-of-way of the proposed Carlsbad Bypass. He also indicated that he will have a rock crushing operation at this property. Mr. Mitchell was asked by the commission if he had secured state permitting for this mining operation. Mr. Mitchell answered that he plans to secure those permits once his conditional use permit is approved by the commission. Mr. Mitchell stated that he will comply fully with all state regulations regarding mining operations such as this, including dust mitigation and required setbacks from neighboring residential properties. A mining and rock crushing operation such as the proposed item must be placed at least a quarter mile from any existing residential property and must provide adequate dust mitigation and control. Mr. Mitchell also stated that he would be a good neighbor and operate between the hours of 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. during the week. He stated that he will also erect berms to mitigate any excessive noise from the operation. When the item was opened for public comment, Mr. Ray Trout spoke regarding his opposition to the request. Mr. Trout lives at 3902 Cadalso Road, just east of the West Bypass right-of-way. Mr. Trout's property is approximately 225 feet from the subject property, but about 1,300 feet from the northern portion of the property where Mr. Mitchell plans to operate the mining and crushing. Mr. Trout indicated that he is very concerned with this proposal in sight of dust and noise from the mining and rock crushing activities, as well as increased heavy truck traffic that will result from the approval of this operation. All of these factors will be detrimental to the neighbors in this area, according to Mr. Trout, and the rural quality of the surrounding residential properties will be drastically disrupted. Mr. Trout is opposed to the request and stated that the applicant should seek other properties in which to locate his operation. There were numerous other property owners from this area in attendance, and each of them spoke in opposition to this request. On January 12, 2022, Mr. Trout and his wife Vicki submitted a letter to the planning office indicating they wished to appeal the decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission and cited Section 56-150C2B of the zoning ordinance, which states, an appeal is made by filing a written notice with the, of appeal with the city administrator, which clearly articulates the reasons for the appeal, specifically citing and explaining one or more of the alleged area. They chose option B in the appealed action or decision, including the stated facts. The Trouts were determined to be an aggrieved party and therefore eligible to file an appeal for this decision. Other property owners that were in attendance at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting and are considered aggrieved parties have also signed the letter submitted by the appellants. Attached in your packet are maps of the property, the minutes from that meeting. And I'll stand for any questions you may have for me.
Questions or comments from Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Do we have anybody in the audience that would like to speak for the ordinance? I'll take your name for the record, please.
Mayor Council, my name is Jim Mitchell, president of Chance Materials, live in Roswell. The proposal, there was a couple of concerns at the meeting. And this map indicates one of them where we show that crusher site location. That was originally meant to show what the closest, that is the state minimum distance that we could be to the houses. And that's what we indicated there just to show what the minimum would be. We didn't necessarily indicate that the crusher site would be there. It would more likely be further away. That would just be the bare minimum. The intent for this project is, as you know, the West Loop's going in, and there's going to be a low water crossing through that draw right there. And that's gonna, once they build that, that's going to leave that piece of land on that 45 acres on the north side isn't going to have ingress and egress. The county's going to allow for ingress and egress, but it's going to be vertical. So it's going to render that property useless if we don't go in and lower that site 25 to 30 feet. So our proposal was, we'd go up there, set up a crusher, we'd sell aggregate, use aggregate in-house, or we're a construction company as well, and that would allow us to, one is to provide the finances to make that piece of property available, and it'd be a pretty good tax revenue for the city of Crowbell as well. Our intent's not to make that land useless. We don't want to render the land useless. We want to get it to a place that we can develop it, we turn around some. With that loop coming in there, more than likely a lot of this, and this is a future discussion, but a lot of this property in that area is probably going to be commercially zoned at some point, we're assuming, because there's going to be a ton of traffic coming through there. With that being said, we'd like to get that both sides. The south side's a little low, and the north side's a little high, so it needs some pretty good grade adjustments to make that developable down the road. The far as the dust, the dust and the noise was brought up quite a bit. I say this, it means nothing, but we are good neighbors. We take care of the dust. We have multiple sites like this. Any of our other sites, we don't have neighbor complaints. We mitigate our issues. The state NMD, New Mexico Environmental Department oversees us, and they watch us closely. They write us fines when we're out of compliance. We're closely regulated by them for any dust or anything else that we emit into the environment. So they oversee us pretty well on that. I think the issue is for the neighbors. We're the first people to come in. The West Loop's just, it's a new thing. It's not a new thing, but it's happened now. And the south end of this going through constructors' portions just about built. The north end is being built currently. And it's coming through there whether we build this project or not. I think the issue is what, the way I see it, is once the road's built, I think we're going to be a minor factor compared to the amount of traffic that's on this road. With our operating hours and with those building sound walls and doing everything that we plan on doing up there, the neighbors are going to hear us working. I mean, we have safety alarms. That's why our operating hours are what they are, from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., is we don't want to disturb neighbors any more than we have to. But part of the MSHA regs are we have to have backup forms and stuff. So they will hear it. It's going to be a construction type site for the period of time we're there. It's not a short-term project, but it's not a forever project. So that is our intent, and that was our intent when we purchased the property. So I think that's my gist of it.
Questions or comments from the council?
Can I ask a little question, Mayor?
Councilor?
Jim, I don't know, I'm looking at that map. If you were crushing to the west, would that make things a little more palatable? You know, would it make things, you know, you got a corner there that you could almost put it on, it seems like, and maybe that would make it okay. I don't know. Would it be far enough away?
And that's truly our intent. That was a contentious part of this deal. Is we put that site location up there so that we could show this is the regulatory minimum that it has to be. Our intent is to get it out of that corner because that would be right in the middle of our access. So it really wouldn't make sense to have it there. So our intent is to put it more toward the middle or up toward the back.
Another question. You said the duration. What is the duration is what? Is when the road gets built, you're done? Or what is
it? No, sir. There's 45 acres. We need to mine it down about 25 feet. So depending on the rate that material sells and the rate it leaves there, that will determine how long we'll be there. But at the other part of that story is, we want to turn around and sell this property. So we don't want to be there forever either.
Further questions? Councilor?
Mr. Mitchell, in your efforts to obtain the permit from NMED, will GPS coordinates of the exact location of the crusher be a part of that?
Yes, sir.
And you anticipate it being different from the general area?
I do. Yes, sir. That's right. Building our access, like I say, it wouldn't make sense to have it there. It would be compressed.
You heard of opacity, right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Can you elaborate just a little bit?
Well, the opacity, we do a monthly opacity test where we pay a company to come out and they monitor the visibility, the dust visibility coming off the machine. And there's a certain amount that's allowable, and it's minimal. And if we don't comply with opacity, the first check study The first time they did, you write a check. Second time they put your permit, it shuts you down. So it's a, they monitor it well.
Further questions? Thank you. Anyone else? You state your name for the record, please.
Jason Burns, I'm the Public Works Director for Petty County. Mr. Mayor, councilors, I'm here today to speak and not necessarily support, maybe to clarify some confusion, misinterpretations of the deal, their issue that they currently have with this development. I feel might be impartial to my development of the West Loop. We have gone through and we have cut the 200-foot wide right-of-way. It did cause a substantial amount of dust, as Mr. Mitchell stated. We have began construction on that south section, and it is under construction, and it has been windy and dusty, and we've done our best to maintain and mitigate the dust with what we can. So I know that's caused concerns that would lead into this development, and we are working on this. We plan, as we progress with this project, as the road is built, we will reseed, we plan on fencing, and that will mitigate the dust, at least on our, you know, that's a significant portion, and really more adjacent to the Mr. Trout's property. So, you know, the other concerns that they have, the increased truck traffic, I spoke at PNZ as to the increased truck traffic. I feel that with the completion of the West Loop, that will eliminate the truck traffic in front of the residential homes, as that we are going to make the West Loop the thoroughfare and put stop signs on Hidalgo and encourage and the traffic to use the West Loop and not get off of Hidalgo. The same thing at Lee Street and the Happy Valley Bypass. We're going to make that where we want the heavy traffic, as that's the main purpose of the West Loop, is to get the truck traffic out of town and to the areas that they need to be. So we're going to encourage that and try to flow them best we can down the West Loop. So I really feel like we'll decrease the truck traffic off of that. And like Mr. Mitchell said, we do intend on granting the access that he's requesting to the West Loop and sending right down the West Loop and out to where he needs to go, which won't increase the traffic. You know, the other thing that I was going to come up and say is the intention of the West Loop, our purpose, our initiative for this project is to complete this thing, and we implemented a very aggressive schedule, and we are using methods that are very cost efficient, and that's how we're going to get this thing completed, is using these methods with an aggressive schedule, with cost effective methods to do this. This development supports that, which is beneficial to Hay County and the city of Carlsbad that has partners in this project. So that's why we're here, because at the end of the day, we are doing something that has taken a while to get going, and we are going on both ends, and we're going to meet in the middle, and it's happening, and we're not stopping. We're working through the construction. We're getting ready, and I'll give an update if you'd like me to, but this is moving at a very aggressive schedule, and it will be done. So I'm not sure if that's some of the confusion with this development and some of the blurry lines between the West Loop and this development. So, and I'll stand for any questions.
What is your date of completion, Jason?
Soon. I will wear the Christmas hat, and I'm gonna cut this ribbon in December with you standing next to me, Mr. Mayor. We're shooting
for Jason.
Yep.
Yeah.
If something happens and this crusher gets mixed, is your completion date going to be the same?
It has the potential to push it. It has the potential to push it. Like I said, this development supports the project. It supports the expedition. It expedites this project as it's developed. It expedites us to building a road, because he, like I said, he's developing access. So the quicker we develop him access, it's a joint venture. if this is allowed to happen. To answer your question, if this is next, West Loop's still coming. Mr. Mitchell mentioned that, and it's a true statement. We're not stopping, we're gonna continue forward. The question is how long and how much? So we are finding avenues that we can make this as time efficient and cost effective as possible. We've done that in several of our projects in the county. We intend to do it with this one and continue forward.
Further questions?
There are questions. No. This was to go through your ground access to the loop off their highway?
If it's Mr. Mitchell or it's anyone that purchased this property, the development, we agreed in the right way that we were going to grant access to the properties. So, yes.
Just gonna need a gate, or they're gonna have to ramp it like I see other places.
Well, like Mr. Mitchell stated up there in the what would be the north side of that, it's gonna have to come down a significant amount, or he's gonna have to find another way, and that's kind of what he's saying to bring that grade down to allow access to make that a usable property. That's the whole intention of this with the other one. So the ramp up the hill would correctly be an issue and hazard. Down below is not near as much a hazard, and we ground the accesses above and below the Hill Dog Road or the McKittrick Canyon.
Thank you.
Sir.
Further questions? Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
See, now this is four. Are you opposed to this?
I am four. Am I good?
Well, it depends on what's definition of four.
Let's find out, okay? I'm Gary Corner. Thank you for letting me speak. Just to start off, I'm a fairly new resident in Carlsbad, okay? But I've had family here for years and years and years. And one thing that I've always heard is Carlsbad needs better infrastructure. Carlsbad needs this. Carlsbad needs that. And now I get this on the front step. Carlsbad needs to improve and increase their police force. So all these things go together, what I'm going to say. And, you know, I heard some talk about noise mitigation and dust and all of this. A little bit of background. I lived by a nasty, stinky dairy for 42 years. And if it was supposed to be regulated, it was not. And the smell and the cows and the noise, you get used to, okay? I live within feet from a train crossing. I'm already used to it. I remember living in Oklahoma and the cicadas and all the noise out there, and all of a sudden you're just used to it. You do acclimate, and it sounds like they're doing a good job mitigating that anyway. But what I've heard forever is we need, the police force needs, but there has to be ways to fund these things, okay? And with the state, what is that, Bill 6, some 6 stuff?
Bill 6.
Absolutely is ruining your tax base here in Carlsbad, where you're not gonna have funds to do anything. Everybody wants, but you gotta have something to give to. And so, just a little pitch, I thought I'd do that. Then I want to read. I'm a good reader, I'll take about 1 minute. I'm for the quarry going in just for to support the infrastructure that we talk about all the time. And where a quarry is different from a lot of businesses, you can't just build a quarry on a blank piece of ground. It has to be the right ground. It has to have the gravel, it has to have the collegiate, it has to have everything that is needed. And it is highly regulated, and I don't think I need to belabor that. It's been discussed at length. But we need, of course, a quarry needs water, electricity, and the material, and it has to be the right kind of material. So it's not like these people that have spent hundreds of man hours in finances going, oh, I think I'll just put it here, hope it works. It has to be the right spot. And so we know that James Hamilton has been a success because of his materials. He was a fairly new business a couple of years ago, a year ago, since January 2021. He has had 30,826 loads cross their scales. So now the proposed quarry, supposedly, the projections are, not supposedly, where an average truckload retails at $500 a load, we need to add this to our tax base and income for the city. With the current state mandated tax hit causing the city of Carlsbad to lose millions, this is the type of business we need to welcome in our city and try to accommodate both the business and local residents. You know, with the mitigation going on for this type of business, for dust and noise, I'll trade that for living by the train tracks, I promise you. The road and the bridge budget the next couple of years for the state of New Mexico is very significant, the highest it's ever been, okay? In order for Eddy County and surrounding counties to take full advantage of the budget, the road jobs need material and labor. There are two main quarries in Carlsbad, both in the county. There are also a handful of small quarries around servicing mainly the oil field. To my knowledge, this will be the first quarry the city can take the full benefit from in tax revenue. Excuse me. The new bypass is key to the traffic control problem, and I hope you will consider that project for approval. Thank you very much. Don't ask me questions.
Thank you. State your name for the record, please.
Kevin McCutcheon, Eddy County Commissioner and citizen at large. Thanks for your time. Mayor, members of the council, appreciate your time and consideration on this project. As we look at what's happening in New Mexico, we see what all of us have done, and speaking of elected officials, to try to fund what's happening. And so we have James Hamilton. She just told us that we got 3,100 trucks, 3,200 trucks since the first of the year. A little quick math, that's roughly 75-ish trucks a day, something like that, for working days. In the summertime, it's about double that, so we're averaging 100 trucks per day at $500 a truckload ballpark. That's $40 a truck. So roughly about $4,000 a day tax revenue at 8% to the city. But that is the smallest portion of it. What we have is constructors consistently going to James Hamilton to purchase materials. We have sweat consistently running out of the materials here on the north end of town. We have constructors unable to supply all of their needs. We have James Hamilton cutting off constructors because they say, hey, we have so many road projects coming up, we can't afford to sell you materials. We have to stockpile our own materials. So what we see is an extremely large vacuum of materials in the area. And every one of us, elected officials, have gone to Santa Fe and fought like hell to get all the money we can get. The city has committed or has submitted to the governor over $30 million in the governor's request and $7 million in the ICIP. The county has submitted this year $30 million in the ICIP. We've sat down face to face with Senator Lundstrom on multiple occasions, and also, Representative Lundstrom, head of House Finance, and also Senator Munoz, head of Senate Finance, and begged for money. This year was different because they came to us and they said, hey, bring us all the projects you can. We are on the precipice of a windfall for infrastructure money coming to Eddy County, coming to the city of Carlsbad. And we have fought like heck to get every penny. Finally, we're getting it. But if we don't approve projects like this, if we can't supply the materials, then we either build less roads due to the increased cost from freight bringing them in other locations, or it takes us so long to build those projects, the metal leaders in Santa Fe will sweep our money and take it back and say, these other cities and municipalities and counties have more shovel-ready projects than we do. Jason Burns got up and he says, I don't want to be for or against, I guess in his position, he can't be, but I don't want anybody to mistake my position. I am 100% for this. So I'll stand for any questions if you have any.
Question for Commissioner McCutcheon.
Thank you all for serving. You. Appreciate your time and consideration.
Yeah. Anyone else? For? Depends on the definition. If nobody for, then?
Something with Mr. Mitchell before you go.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mitchell, you know, we're doing, you said that you were going to mine this property down 20 feet, right?
25-ish, yes, sir.
How long would that take?
Well, at the rate of consumption we're talking here, not long.
Like 5 years? 10 years? What?
That's a...
I'm just curious.
How many trucks we talking, 35,000? So, I mean, 5 years would be, yeah. I mean, that would...
You think you'd be out of there? You'd be out of return?
Oh, we'd be at a level that we'd want to develop land, so, yes, sir.
That's, okay, that, that's, thank you.
Anyone else? If not, we'll take the against now. Do you have anyone that would like to speak against? Ma'am?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. You state your name for the record, please.
Brenda Frederick, I live at 3616 Hidalgo. And they've got a lot for this, but I also wonder, this kind of material is all over Carlsbad. It's all west of us, it's north of us. We live almost in Rock City. And they talk like that land won't be good for anything else. They might have said that about Sea Hill at one time. And they could build houses, they could build other things. I'm not against it being progress out there. But I've lived out there 30 some odd years. It's been so nice and quiet. We lived in town for 12. We got out there to get away from all that. They tore up the highway right in front of Hidalgo and they put down, I don't know what it's called, but it's rough and it's getting rougher all the time and there will just be more and more trucks. And there could be other kinds of businesses, and there will be when that bypass is done, and we would welcome it. But we have all kinds of wildlife out there, and it is so nice to watch them. And it's just quiet, and there's so much dirt and dust, and you can almost get run over just going to the mailboxes anymore. Those trucks don't even slow down for the stop sign up there on the corner. And there aren't enough police in this town to even take care of that. They're just, everywhere you go, they're running the stop signs, they're just not paying attention to any laws anywhere and out there. You get hit by a truck, well, that's gonna be all she wrote. I had a lot of stuff I was gonna say, but they have a lot of good points. But there can be other businesses, and there are a lot of other rock quarries. Why do they have to put it so close to people that have lived there? That it's so quiet, and it's going to destroy all of that. I wrote all this I wanted to tell y'all, but I just appreciate y'all listening. I hope you'll think about it, because it is really nice. You just have to go out there and see. It's. I don't know. I just thank you for listening. And at least y'all did listen, because at that last meeting, we hadn't sat down more than 2 minutes, and they voted. And we were history. So just keep in consideration that homeowners do have feelings and lives, and there could be more homes built out there. But when they say they're not going to be there very long, or however long they're going to be there, well, when they do leave, what's going to come in to take that place? More stuff that's not going to be, might not be real beneficial to the city right now, but it's not going to have that, what do you call it, an aesthetic value to it? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Against?
We don't.
Is that it?
I don't.
Yeah, I'm Ray Trout at 3902 Hidalgo, and Mr. Mitchell did go a little bit more in depth tonight, and pretty well satisfied the questions I had. I think that was a big problem before. We're in the dark. We don't know what's going to happen. The only thing I ask, Mr. Mitchell, please, please, please do the best you can do on your filtration, cutting down the dust, and I mean, he pretty well answered it a while ago, my questions and my oppositions. So thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you, Mr. Trout. Anyone else? If not,
Mayor.
today and having spoken with at least Mr. Trout out of his little ranch there. You know, this bypass is something that we've been fighting for since 2009. We hadn't turned a shovel of dirt on that thing until now. So I'm really ready for this to happen. I'm really ready for all that truck traffic to get away from our schools on Lee Street, our sports complex down there, where all of our kids are there every night. I'm really looking forward to wearing a Christmas hat and cutting a ribbon in December. I'm going to show up. And hopefully to help appease, like Mr. Trout was saying, I brought up the question of opacity. I thought that needed to be explained very well. And the fact that NMED is very much in charge, and they are very aggressive when they do things like this. I work for a company that ran crushers, and I know that opacity was a very, very important matter. And Mr. McCutcheon mentioned the money that's coming in and the fact that they were invited to bring projects in. And I can tell you the good reason for that is Carlsbad is and always will be shovel ready for anything that comes our way. So when we go up there and ask for money, we're not just asking and hoping. We have a plan and we have something in place and we have our shovels ready to go if we can get that money. And I think that's where we are now. Mr. Mitchell, I would hope that as we progress that you do honor your word to keep the dust down and abide with the opacity, or else that's a very big business decision. And I would move to uphold the planning and zoning approval of this special use permit.
Move to uphold.
I'll second here.
Move in a second. With any further discussion?
Mayor, can you explain what the vote will be?
Let's vote first and then vote.
Okay. No, yes. Just now explain.
Now I'm explaining.
I'm going to say yes or no.
I keep getting ahead of myself.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the council. So the motion is to uphold the planning and zoning approval of the conditional use permit. So what that means is, well, first of all, it's going to take a two-thirds majority to overturn planning and zoning, okay? So if you want to overturn it and basically grant the appeal of Mr. Trout, then it would take six of you eight because of the nature of this question, okay? So based on what the motion is, which is to uphold the planning and zoning approval of the conditional use permit, in other words, allow the project to go forward. If you vote yes, that means you're voting in favor of allowing the project to go forward. If you vote no, then that means you're voting against allowing the project to go forward.
Do you have any questions about that?
Thanks for explaining it.
Sure. It can get confusing.
Yeah, it can get very confusing. With that, call for the vote.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes.
Ms. Niemeyer?
Yes.
Mr. Wolkershide?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores? Mr. Chavez.
With NMB, NM Sean regulating both the core use for regulating the core in my program.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Good pass. That will move us to number 7, consider approval of ordinance 2022-03, an ordinance rezoning part of R1 Residential 1 District to C2 Commercial 2 District from approximately 1.88 acres located at 610 Polk Lane, applicant R. Theodore Polk, A public hearing and B approval of the ordinance, the 1-1 convening of the public hearing of Congress.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is a request to change the zoning of the subject property, 610 Polk Lane, from R1 Residential 1 District to C2 Commercial 2 District. If you look at your maps provided on pages 323 and 324 of your packet, you'll see that the subject property is surrounded by R1 Residential 1 Zone District to the north and the west. Property to the south is Zone C2 Commercial, and the property to the east is Zone I Industrial District. A change in the zoning to C2 for the subject property will not result in a spot zone. The applicant brought this item before the Planning and Zoning Commission at the January 3rd, 2022 Commission meeting. That commission considered this item and voted to recommend approval of this request with a vote of 4 in favor of approval, 9 against, and 1 absent. And I will stand for any questions that you have.
Questions?
Mayor, Councilor? Jeff, I've been to that motel at the end of that road. That's a motel, isn't it? The blue?
In the blue, in the center, yeah. Yes.
That's the road to that motel, isn't it?
There is another access from the east through that neighborhood off of Patrick Street, because Hope Lane is not a permanent crossing of the railroad, so it's not an official city street, it's a private road. I have to assume that it was a mistake when the map was made back in 2011. As far as I understand, it's always been commercial since the new zoning ordinance has existed, and this is just our attempt to correct that.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
That was a quick one. What were you doing at that motel?
Do we have anyone that would like to speak for the ordinance? For the ordinance, yes.
I'd like to ask a question.
State your name for the record, please.
Melvin Gilbert, Mayor. Good afternoon. Person that is trying to buy this property, and I have to go through all this process because of the banqueting here alone being to the fact that it was zoned as residential. So I have to go through the process of changing into commercial for them back for the bank to continue with loan. My question is, what he brought up to your attention, the road to the property, I know it's before, to my understanding, there wasn't a road there. It just got developed on 2015 or 2017 when they widened out the access under. So I went and talked to the people that are building the hotel, and they told me the same thing. They had to create their access through Patrick Road because that was not allowed for them to use as an entrance. Is that going to be a problem for me, for that property, to use that as an access, my main access? Because there's no other access to that property. So that's one of the questions that I wanted to ask and see.
So Mr. Gilbert is correct. There, when you look at the property plats, there is access provided through easement across Pope Lane and across those properties to 610. The issue is going to be the railroad crossing, because BNSF does not consider that a permanent crossing. And when it's not a permanent crossing, which means it's not lighted, it's not, you know, it doesn't have all the equipment, and they don't maintain it as one, then they can close that crossing at their will. So unfortunately, that's not a city street that we would be able to keep open in that instance. I don't know that they have plans to close that, but it was made very clear to the city a number of years ago that they can come in and close that if they would like to. And I know the property owner back then requested that that be made a permanent crossing, and BNSF said no, so.
Jeff, how is he gonna get access? Is he going off of Patrick also? I don't see.
I think that, and Mr. Gilbert can answer this better than I can, but I think the plan right now is to use Pope Lane as access. That's what the business that was there before did. If that changes, then he'll need to reach out to his neighbors to try to find another way.
Before you grant this, don't you have to have access?
I mean, Right now, we would consider that he does have access. There's legal access to it according to the property plats, but you know, then you get into the question of who overrides who with BNSF. I think that they would tell you that they have the ultimate authority for that crossing alone.
Counselor?
Jeff, that when you say cross BNSF, you're talking about a legal right of way that they can deny. They can actually block that road if they so choose.
That's correct.
As long as they on their right of way.
Right. They have authority. You can see the right of way where the railroad tracks are. BNSF reserves right to control that at their will.
Further questions?
I have a question.
Counselor?
Jeff, how long has that access been like that?
It's existed since I've lived here, so that's 2013. And I don't know, of course, BNSF doesn't really tell us their plans ahead of time, but they've not come to my department to indicate that they wanted to close that crossing. So, I mean, in this case, that's about the best answer I can give you. It's been like that for a long time. I'm sure the people that have lived here longer will tell you that, but it's not considered permanent, like just to the north with Center Avenue. That's not something they can close at their will. That's a process, but this one, they could burn it tomorrow, I think, and it'd not be a lot that the city could do.
Question of Mr. Gilbert. Have you made any effort to contact the railroad?
No. I went to the A County and they said, I mean, getting in contact with the BNSF, it's just extremely hard. And you can't even deal with them. You have to deal with the representative. So they told me not even give it a try. But what they did tell me is that at some point they granted access and it was, they had legal access for 26 years. Or something like that. But it's on writing or something with the Eddy County. So they said then 26 years from now, then you have to worry about maybe not having access to it, which I don't think is going to happen because that property has had access for the last 40 years that it's been a shop. I guess that, from my understanding, that shop has been built since the 70s, and that's been their access to that shop for ever since. So, but concern me if at one point, you know, I mean, I'm going to spend all this money on this property, and at one point, if the BNSF decides to lock it. So I don't know if I could make my way to go to Center and then come down the Eddy County property right there. I don't know if that would be possible where the red lines are. I don't know if that would be a way for me to get access to the property. If that was to happen, that was my next question. Since it's pretty much like an easement right there on that red line. Because there is lights and there's a crossing on that avenue right there.
One thing I wanted to add, the property that looks kind of brown to you, the industrially zoned property, that is a NMDOT yard for their maintenance. And they are the ones initially that secured access on Pope Lane across that crossing. To me, that would indicate that there's less of a chance that BNSF would step in and close that crossing because there is an agreement with NMDOT in place, I think, to provide access through that access there on Pope.
So BNSF, they can close Pope Lane, but I mean, do you think that's very unlikely?
Yeah, I can't say that it won't happen, but knowing that they have an agreement and they've granted access to NMDOT to access off of Pope to their yard there, I would think that that would not be very likely.
No guarantees.
I would venture to say that if there is ever a near miss on Pope Lane, kids get shut down. If a train and a vehicle or people ever even get near one another. From a business standpoint, BNSF would look at shutting that down. So I think a plan B would be moving.
Yes. And you think, I mean, at this point, you think once they have traffic, because if a hotel is making a secondary entrance to Pope Lane, you don't think at one point that would become a legal access, like with lights or that the city can do something to force them to put lights on there or leave a sign or something?
We have to do anything.
We have as much luck as you do to get hold of them.
Pretty much it's not likely that we'll do anything to that.
Based on my past dealings with them, I would have to say that it's not very likely. They stated when we talked with them previously that that crossing was already too close to the center, so that they didn't want to create another crossing that close. But you know, things can change, but I don't think that I would count on that.
Yeah. Any further questions?
So how does NMDOT access their from Hope?
I think they access from Hope and from Center.
Yeah, I believe their main entrance is on Center.
So I become really good friends with them.
No further questions?
Now, with that, the question that I was saying, is that an access that I can take on that, where that red line is?
I would have to look at who owns that strip along the railroad and see.
BES.
BES.
It would have to be a business deal with the owner of BES.
Okay, no further questions? We're going to move on. Is there anybody else that would like to speak for? If not, do we have anybody that would like to speak against? If not, we're now convened as a city council to consider approval of the ordinance.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion for approval.
A motion to approve.
Second.
No further discussion. Call the vote.
Mr. Forrest.
Yes.
Ms. Niemeyer.
Yes.
Mr. Waltershire.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes. Motion passed. Number 8, consider approval of resolution 2022-04. The resolution requiring the removal of the weeds at 210 East Grove Street, owned by Gary Roberts, before we.
Mayor and council members, this property is 210 East Grove Street, which is located in the residential neighborhood, and it's near Old Cameron Highway and National Parks. This property is a vacant lot, and the Eddy County Assessor's Office lists a gentleman by the name of Gary Roberts as owning or having an interest in the property. The assessor's records list his address to be in Missouri. The property is not occupied and has not been maintained. Code enforcement has been to the properties. It's a problem, and the neighbors continuously contact code enforcement about the condition of the property. As you can see from the photographs, the weeds are really bad on this property. Code enforcement and the fire marshal have inspected the property, and they found that the property remains out of compliance. And I just updated you with photographs taken yesterday, and it shows that the roots remain on the property. The fire marshal has even found in his report that it presents an extreme fire hazard for responding firefighters and emergency personnel. A resolution has been prepared, which is in your packet, which if adopted, would require the property owner to remove all weeds from the property within 30 days or so of this resolution. I sent a certified letter on January 26, 2022 to the property owner, and there has been no contact or any communication at all from the property owner. I stand for any questions you may have.
Question from Ms. Boyer. If not, do we have a representative here for the property? If not, we move to the motion.
Move for approval.
And the motion to approve.
Second.
Second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes.
Ms. Niemeyer?
Yes.
Mr. Waltershire?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes. Number 9, consider approval of resolution 2022-05, a resolution requiring the removal of weeds at 03 National Park Highway, owned by Jimmy Mitchell. Ms. Boyer.
Mayor and council members, this is property located at 4303 National Parks Highway. The property is commercial and it contains a shop, and it's near the intersection of Hidalgo and National Parks Highway. It is a large fenced commercial property with a shop. The Eddy County Assessor's Office lists that Jeannie Mitchell is owning or having an interest in the property with an address at PO Box 1357 here in Carlsbad. The property appears to be vacant and has not been maintained. Code enforcement has been to the property. It's a problem because there's massive amounts of weeds that's come to the attention of code enforcement. And the weeds are scattered throughout the entire property, as you can see from the photographs. The property has been inspected by code enforcement and the fire marshal, and as you can see, it remains out of compliance. I provided you with recently updated photographs. It shows that the weeds remain on the property. The fire marshal has found that it's an extreme fire hazard for responding firefighters and emergency personnel. The resolution, again, has been prepared for your review, and if adopted, it will require the property owner to remove the weeds within 30 days of service of this resolution. Our office sent a letter to the property owner on January 28, 2022 by certified mail. We had the address listed, the PO Box 1357, and there has been no response from the owners. You can see it's a really nice shop and property. I'm not really sure what's going on with it, but we're requesting that you approve the resolution.
Question for Ms. Morgan.
And I move for approval. We have a motion to approve and a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Forrest.
Yes.
Ms. Niemeyer.
Yes.
Mr. Waltershire.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Number 10, consider approval of resolution 2022-06, a resolution requiring removal of the weeds at 611 Ortega Street, owner Charles McCormick. Ms. Morgan.
Mayor and council members, this property is at 611 Ortega Street, which is located in the residential neighborhood near the intersection of Ortega and Mesquite. This is a residential property, and the assessor's office lists a Charles McCormick as owning or having an interest in the property, and that individual has an address, care of Jane Grandy, 4111 Grandy Road here in Carlsbad. The property appears to have a residence, but it does not appear to be occupied and has not been maintained. Code enforcement has been called to the property numerous times. It's a problem, and the inspectors have found that at times, according to neighbors, the back door is left open and other times it's closed. So it kind of seems like probably people are accessing this property. We're not asking for a condemnation of the building at this time, basically just a cleanup of the property itself, the outside of the property. It's been a problem for a while. Code enforcement did make contact with Virginia Grandy, but she claims she does not have any control over the property, and that her brother, who has an address in Tucson, Arizona, is the one that, according to Ms. Grandy, has control over the property. As you can see, there's weeds all over the property. It's been inspected by code enforcement, including recently, and provided with updated photographs that show that the weeds remain on the property. There does not appear to have been any effort to clean it up, despite the notice that we've sent. The fire marshal has inspected and found that this property presents an extreme fire hazard for responding firefighters and emergency personnel. A resolution has been prepared for your review, which, if you adopt it, would require the property owner to clean this property and remove the weeds within 30 days of service of the resolution. My office caused a letter to be sent by certified mail on January 28th to the owner of the property, care of Jane Grandy. We did get contact from a Charles McCormick Jr. He called and spoke to Mr. Patterson, Ms. Carrasco, and he also spoke to me, called my office, and he indicated that his father, the record owner, has been deceased since approximately 2002, and the mother, who was the other owner of the property, apparently at some point died in 2015. But no probate has been filed, and he said his sister, the one, Jeannie Grandy, had power of attorney to the parents to take care of the property, but nothing was done to take care of it. So it appears that there's a lack of handling this property by family members that most likely inherited it either by will or by operation of law, but nobody has stepped forward to take control of the property and take care of it. Mr. McCormick did say that he's willing to pay somebody to clean the property up out of his own pocket. He asked Mr. Patterson to give him the name of somebody that might be able to do that. Mr. Patterson has assured me he was able to give him the contact information for the contractor that the city uses to clean property up. But whether it's gone any further than that, I don't know. These conversations just took place this week. So, I mean, they're brand new conversations. So, of the city's positions, we still are asking you to consider this resolution, even though we did get a contact from the son of the property.
Any questions for Ms. Boyer?
Question, Mayor. How would we get this house looked at to make sure it doesn't cause us any further problems?
You mean inspect the residence?
Yeah, not allow people in there doing that stuff.
Well, that would be the next step if we wanted to have the property boarded up and potentially condemned, inspected and then potentially condemned and demolished.
But seems like this is going to be a continuous problem.
I mean, the first step is to try to clean up the outside in case firefighters need to get to it. We kind of usually do this incrementally. I mean, unless it's already falling down or it's already had fire or something like that, we could do it once, but this is typically where we have
it. Do you have a question? Anybody else? Is there a representative here for the property?
Mayor, I think that Mr. McCormick Jr. being willing to make the effort is great, but I would move that we proceed with this and he would have 30 days to get that done.
Second. No further discussion. Call the vote.
Mr. Forrest.
Yes.
Ms. Niemeyer.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
And Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Number 11, Council Committee Reports. Does any council have any updates? Anything new? On ECA?
Mayor, the conference is moving forward. We are planning our speakers and our invitations that we're ready to go out for our conference here in Carl Flats.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Excuse me?
We're looking forward to it.
Oh, my. So am I.
Anyone else in the room? If not, I'd like to ask Ms. Tess to come and give us a brief update on House Bill 6 and kind of where we are at this time.
Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council members. I won't go into the to the details on how we got to this point, but basically the city is currently working on following a couple of Senate bills. We have Senate Bill 136 and Senate Bill 137. In reference to Bill 137, the initial intent was to restore the city's local share of state GRT on sales for services. And it also, this was a conservative approach that would also require that, or requesting that the state taxation and revenue department to create and implement a code to identify sellers and buyers of the locations in order for local governments to be able to more accurately project future revenues. And so the bill isn't being approved as it was initially submitted. It is now being amended, so there's a substitute to that. And we're pleased that it's going to continue to move forward and has opened up discussions. It's highlighted the issues that we're facing with the revenue losses that we're experiencing. So Mayor Janway and Mayor Cobb, as well as the key legislators and lobbyists and city administration, we've all been working together to highlight all of that. So this substitute bill will be an emergency fix. So what it will do is it'll amend the bill to include a safety net fund. Okay, so this would be a short-term fix. It's going to be a two-year, they'll set aside $50 million where the cities or any organization that, or an entity that has, can prove a loss of 10% of revenue, that they can go in and request funding to replace that. So that's a really good thing that we're following closely. So based on the financials that, you know, our experts are crunching, Melissa and folks at NHOPS are putting together, you know, showing the loss for those years. They're gonna compare 2020 to current. And in that, we're already seeing in the 5 months, 6 months, but 5 months that are would be eligible for this, the city would be losing 12.6 million. And Hobbs is looking at 2.6 in that same period, 6 month period. So at this rate, the funds that they're setting aside are definitely not gonna go a long way, possibly 1 year. But this actually opens it up so that maybe next session we can look at, you know, additional funding that could be made available. So the good thing is that the discussions are being held. And then finally, just a quick update on SB 136. This is the industry specific bill that we're tracking, and it's an exemption to oil and gas services. So unlike SB 137, it's more of a long-term fix that, but unfortunately it doesn't have the momentum and the support, you know, because it's oil and gas. So we're trying to be strategic and tackling it in the different directions. So, but the good thing about this bill is that there is an HB 47 bill, House Bill 47, that mirrors that. And it involves the hospice and healthcare industries. And so that one is moving forward so far. It's got traction, so it's a different industry, but at least it's kind of setting the path. So the conversations are ongoing on that. So I think that covers everything there. I don't know if you have any questions, maybe some, if you need any kind of background on what's going on.
Thank you. I just want to thank everybody that's worked so hard, Melissa, Taylor, Casey, you, Wendy came back and is still helping us, John. So everybody is really pulling out all the stops because we have to. And this is getting really, really serious for City of Carlsbad.
It's been a huge effort, and then Denise too, there's a lot of players involved, so.
Not to mention Denise. Attorneys all the time.
Thank you
very much. Thank you. No one else? That will move us to number 12, and I can call Dr. Lisa and then I'll
Mayor, make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, motion to adjourn. Second. And second, no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Forrest.
Yes.
Mr. Meyer.
Yes.
Mr. Walterstein.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chatter. Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes, sir.
We're done.